Well, did you see the full moon? You know, as the full moon rose, many people were simply tricked into thinking it's unusually large. The moon illusion, as it's known, is a trick in our own minds that makes the moon seem bigger when it's near the horizon. The effect is most pronounced at full moon, and many people swear it's real, suggesting that perhaps Earth's atmosphere magnifies the moon. But it's all really in our minds. The moon is not bigger at the horizon than when it's overhead. The illusion will be particularly noticeable at this solstice moon, coming just 2 days before summer starts in the northern hemisphere. The reason, according to NASA, lies in lunar mechanics. The sun and the full moon are like kids on a seesaw. When one is high, the other is low. This week's high solstice sun gives us a low horizon-hugging moon and a strong, long-lasting version of the illusion. It's something to see. Up next, Full Moon Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome to Open Lines now. Full Moon Open Lines, always different. East of the Rockies, we'll start with you. You're on the line. Hi there.
How you doing, Joe? It's the greatest host in the world.
I'm okay. I try.
Greatest show in the world as well.
Yes, sir. That's
in any case, look, you know, it seemed to me that they're seeking out life in a backwards type way. You know, the version of the heat-seeking missile.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they would find some way to home it in on a methane gas or something that biology would produce, or maybe moisture for water, and go directly to the source rather than searching all around.
I wonder if they already know that, though.
Well, obviously they don't.
Yeah. Well, we don't think so.
Well, we just put it out there. How about that?
Yeah.
All right.
I love space. I love space. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George.
Welcome.
My buddies in the horseshoe pit call me Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil?
Yeah.
Why do they call you that?
Well, when I bring the medicine every once in a while. It's not often, but it happens, so... It's just a nickname. It doesn't really...
You're not an evil person.
Not generally.
Not generally.
So anyway, I've kind of come to the notion that our existence is actually, you know, like a figment of the imagination of maybe a higher consciousness.
Maybe.
And... I even get to the point where I feel like I'm the only one that's actually, you know, experiencing it.
How so?
Well, I guess since I was like 11, I got baptized in a Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just kind of did it because... you know, it was kind of expected, and...
Was it your choice?
I beg your pardon?
Was it your choice?
Well, that's part of the, you know, the ultimate realization is that I don't really, you know, think there is choice. But at that time, it's like when I became, you know, in a sense, really baptized, but... In kind of an alternate way to what was, you know, really expected out of that. I mean, you know, that's when I began to, you know, actually question what, you know, what things were all about.
Well, have you ever come up with the answer, who are we? What are we doing here? Why are we here?
Well, not ultimately. I feel like it's... you know, it's an experience to be, you know, realized at some point. In a way, I tend to at least hope for Bible prophecy as far as you know, the ending of that is actually a new and you know, ultimately. You know,
a new beginning. Yeah, that's possible. It really is. You know, I don't know why they call you Dr. Evil, because I didn't hear anything evil about you. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Where are you?
Mount Vernon, Illinois.
Okay. Not too. And, you're not flooded out there, are you?
No, luckily we're not.
That's good. I know some areas are.
Yeah. But I wanted to tell you about these black helicopters that have been buzzing our town.
Mount Vernon, Illinois, black helicopters?
Yes.
What's going on there?
I don't know, but I went into town today. I live right outside of town, and I had to go into town to the bank today. And we had all kinds of military guys out there dressed in full gear with guns and everything going from house to house.
You're near Scott Air Force Base, right?
We're about an hour from Scott Air Force Base.
It's in that range. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And I asked one of the guys at the bank what was going on, and he said he didn't know. And he said they came into the bank, too, with weapons drawn and told them it was a drill.
Well, it could be. They're doing a lot of these all over the country.
But it reminded me of what Alex Jones had on one of his videos.
But they are you saying though they actually came into a bank with guns?
Yes.
Was the bank folks, were they aware of this?
No. There was a
man, that's not a pretty smart drill as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's not.
And then the helicopters went away.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Okay. Mount Vernon.
We've been seeing them for the last 3 nights here too.
I don't know.
The helicopters are like buzzing the town, and we don't know why.
What would be going on in Mount Vernon, Illinois, a long suburb on the other side of the river from St. Louis?
I have no idea, because we're just a little bitty town of like 15,000 people.
Did you call your police department?
Yeah, I asked them about it, and they acted like they didn't know what I was talking about.
That is strange. Wildcard Line, you're up with us. Hello there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. I'm doing okay.
Wonderful. I enjoy you so much, and the listeners and the callers. I just am appreciative of everyone.
They've got magic, these callers, don't they?
They sure do. I've been trying for 6 months to get through, and it's not a coincidence. I don't think that I got through tonight on Full Moon and the Open Lines. But the last time I called you, I sang for you. I sing in Less We Boast. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
But anyway, I'm calling because I live in an 80-year-old house. We bought it 3 years ago, and my sister pretty much moved in with me right after we bought the house. She moved into all of our bedrooms are upstairs except for one, and it's downstairs on the back end of our house, like, you know, beyond the kitchen. It's the very back of the house.
Right.
Excuse me. And my sister kept saying she saw a dark shadow in the closet repeatedly to the point where she slept with the light on, and then she eventually moved out to the living room.
She got that scared.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Take care of that cough, by the way.
It's my sinuses are draining, George. This Ohio weather's killing me.
Oh, it is. I know it's horrible.
And then, okay, she moved out. We had a gentleman, a friend of my husband's, that was down on his luck. We let him move in that room.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, well, we feed strays and take in stray people, too. But anyway, he moved in, and he lived with us for 6 months. On December 3rd, I found him hanging dead in my son's.
Oh my God.
He hung himself on the closet door where everyone sees the dark shadow.
You didn't see this coming from him at all, did you?
No, sir, I didn't. Like I said, he was down on his luck. He had just lost his job. His girlfriend had just broken up with him.
Oh, man, he got it from both sides.
He got it from everywhere. Boom, and the boom. Last thing that he drew, he was an artist. He drew a picture of the Grim Reaper, and I found him at 10:30, you know, at night.
Oh, what a horrible thing to see.
It was terrible.
Oh, my God.
I blogged about it in quite some detail on our MySpace. It's just, I feel so bad for people who have to go through that, the families and loved ones and stuff. And he didn't have any family. You know, he was from Minnesota. And
you got along with him, right?
Yeah. I mean, we knew him for 6 years. And, you know, it's just sad that, you know, you can't come to somebody and say, I'm feeling suicidal. Or,
yeah,
I'm
down.
You know.
You know what? The next day, and when I mean the next day, I mean in the future, it gets better.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, the third person, now we've got a different guy living with us. Another friend of my husband's moved in about 3 weeks ago.
Now tell me he's down and out, too.
In that room, he is down and out. He has no job, no insurance, no car, no nothing. Okay, so he moved in, and he's aware of, you know, the suicide. And I told him, look, I can't take finding you like that. So whatever you're doing, let's keep an open mind here. I'll help you, whatever you need.
Well, is he showing these tendencies?
No, he isn't. And he doesn't believe in, any kind of dark force that made, you know, the guy hang himself. But here's the thing. When he was cleaning out the closet to move his stuff in, it's like a walk-in closet, sort of.
So it's a pretty good size.
Yeah, it's a good size closet. It's very deep. And he came out to me, and he's like, you know, it might be my imagination or whatever, but every time I go in that closet to bend over to put something down or get something, I see a dark shadow.
Oh.
And I feel something touching the back of my waist, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
I'm getting chills listening to this.
So, George, I've taken, you know, holy oil. I've blessed the house myself. I've tried everything, and I don't know what this thing is. But I've had three adults tell me of this thing in my house.
And you haven't seen it yet?
I've not seen it. Now, my 10-year-old son has seen it from the living room. You can see down to the bedroom. And he, you know, he just so casually one night, he's like, Mom, you know, there's a dark thing walking out of the back bedroom door there.
Did he sense anything evil?
No. I mean, nothing at all. He just, very casually, he wasn't scared. He's like, I just seen a dark thing walk out, turn around, and walk back in.
Think back for a moment. First of all, did the person who did himself in, did he leave a note to you or anything?
No.
Nothing.
No note.
Nothing.
He just drew a picture of the Grim Reaper, and that was it.
And that was it.
Yeah.
Can you think back to the time before he died that you talked to him or saw him? What was his state of mind at that time?
Well, 2 weeks before he did it, he was wonderful. I mean, very helpful around the house, mowed the grass.
Upbeat.
Very upbeat, very positive, looking out actively, searching for a job, you know, involved with his girlfriend. And just 2 weeks before, he pretty much shut down as far as socially.
What happened to him?
I don't know.
Was he taking anything? Was he on drugs, prescribed or otherwise?
They found marijuana in his system with the autopsy.
Yeah, but that won't do that.
But that's all that they found. And, you know, I didn't even know he was doing that, you know. So, you don't know people. You really don't know them.
There's something in that house, though.
There's
a cloud
in my daggone house, George, and I tell you, it's going to go. I'm not going to tolerate it.
Well, I don't blame you. You got to just tell it to go. Throw some sage in there. You know what? Go on my website. You got to talk to Marianne Winkowski. She's the Ghostbuster. She'll probably give you some great advice.
I sure will.
I've had people who say she's so prompt. You know, when she knows it's a coast-to-coast listener, she's right on it.
Yeah, yeah,
she's busy. She's the one who's putting on the show Ghost Whisperer on CBS.
Yeah. Okay.
She's everywhere. But
yeah, because you know, I've went back there and I've had a prayer circle with people who aren't afraid to go back there. I mean, I've literally got people that won't even go back there now. And I mean, quite honestly, after he hung himself, I was on the computer about 7 p.m. that night, and I felt him walk through the living room and up the steps. You know how you can tell somebody's, you know, there?
You mean before or after he killed himself?
He was already dead.
He was already dead. You felt his spirit.
I felt something, George. He was dead for 14 hours before I found him. And it's just the way things played out that day. My kids usually would have taken his mail back to him.
Yep.
Had they done that, they would have found him.
So it wasn't unusual for him to be in that room, the door closed, nobody goes and bothers him.
Right. If we needed something, we knock on the door, you know. He enjoyed drawing and enjoyed his private time, but he was still social. you know, he would come out and, you know, be part of the family and whatever.
All right,
dinner.
Well,
and
look, you've got to get that house cleansed. Get a hold of Marianne and take care of it. By the way, our special thank you to Gina today, who's filling in for Tom. His uncle died. I met his uncle down in Florida a few months ago when we were down there on business. And just a wonderful guy. Looked like Dwight Eisenhower. So we used to call him the General. And he passed away. So Tom's going to be gone for a couple days down there for the funeral. So our condolences to his family. He's gone through a lot. Let's go through our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Doing great. Thank you.
I wanted to bring up free energy to you. And
I'll take it.
Very easily done.
Okay. How?
Now, when you have, let's say, a grandfather clock or a grandmother clock, and you wind it up very
mm-hmm.
simply.
Okay.
Now, let's say you have a big weight. Everyone's had a cherry picker or seen a cherry picker. It's very easy to use a pulley to raise a lot of weight.
Sure.
Now, if that weight is distributed going down, while it's still winding that wheel, wouldn't it be easy just to wind your house up for the day or for 2 days or for 3 days, actually how a grandfather clock works or how any other clock works? We're talking a simple pulley, a simple chain, and simple weights.
Yeah, but how do we generate electricity that way?
Well, that is very simple. If you have an electrical generator hooked up to the same device.
Now, does it have to be moving at a really fast clip?
Well, the heavier the weight, the easier it is to pull. Now, I'm not talking a little simple weight that's in a grandfather clock. I'm talking a big stone mallet that might be outside your house that is very easily lifted because
who's going to pull it?
Leverage.
Who's got
to
pull
lift it?
Who pulls it?
You simply pull it. It's you wake up in the morning, let's say the third day, and it's going down on its chain.
All right, let's say the juice
right
is going
back up.
You just pull it once and that's it?
No, not just pull it once. I mean, imagine it as like a boat pulley. You ever pull up a boat pulley? And
yeah.
It's a chain. And
yeah,
you just keep on wrenching it up, and eventually it goes up. It's the same thing as a clockwork. I mean, the more we get back to nature, the better off our society is going to be.
Have you built one of these things?
Absolutely not, but I know how a clock works.
We got to find someone to build it as a test prototype.
It would be great. Definitely, that would be great. And, you know, I was a caller that got cut off because I was telling you how to bring a beam down from outer space to generate energy.
We don't cut people off.
Well, it might not happen in you, but I'm just saying I was cut off because I was talking with your engineer from NASA this evening, and I was going to tell him how to bring a beam from outer space to create energy.
You mean like a solar beam you're probably talking about?
Not so much a solar beam, but it was something I didn't want to introduce to everybody because I didn't think it was right for everyone to have that kind of knowledge to know how to bring a beam from outer space to create energy.
All right. Send Mr. Zimmerman. Send him an email. We got to take a break, so I got to go. You're not getting cut off. We'll be back. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Lynn Marzulli joins us. We're going to talk a full program on UFOs, the Vatican statement that extraterrestrial life does not affect religion or faith, and should be a fascinating show with L.A. Marzulli. Full show of open lines for you on Friday, but this is full moon night, so let's do it. International caller, you're calling from?
Hi. It sounded like my line was about to get clipped. I hope it doesn't, because it happens quite often. It's Dave from Hamilton, actually.
Hey, Dave.
Boy, I'm glad I got through to you, George. Full moon lines, wait till you hear this story. I got some information for you that based on Greg Braden's Power of Intention, this will help you with your question about why we're here. When you asked that caller once, you ever thought about why we're here? Okay, I'm going to use Bruce Lipton. He says we're all connected, right?
Yep.
Okay, now I believe that since we're all connected, we all have to make it together, not like some religions believe that only those that believe in Jesus are going to make it, and we better start getting our bunker ready to wait it out for the rapture. But I believe that if none of us makes it, or we all make it.
So you don't think there's going to be a selective few on their way?
No, I actually don't. I think Greg Braden would say when he did it in the Isaiah Effect, his book, he said there's two possibilities that Isaiah said, either the apocalyptic end or else we could have the utopia type of thing.
What about the haves and the have-nots? Let's assume, and let's use an asteroid hit as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think the elitists, those groups of the Illuminati, they already have their underground bunkers. They already have their plans, their escape route.
But, George, they're chickens. They don't want to do that because it means that they have to change their whole lifestyle and go in, for 500 years or something and live underground.
Well,
they don't want to do that.
They may not have a choice.
I think they're coming around to the realization that their choice is not a good choice. I think if we all win, and through the power of intention, look, I was held in custody for 8 years trying to expose the corruption in the judicial system here in Canada on completely fabricated charges of supposedly uttering a death threat. I've got the producer of the local Hamilton TV station who doesn't want to hear the details anymore that he had a hard time believing originally. He now wants to know how I survived it. So that indicates to me that people have not survived what I've been through and tried to report it. I could tell you some horror stories, which is part of the equation. It's kind of Alex Jones kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's also Dr. Leonard Horowitz, where he claims there's an elitist group out to eliminate some of us and take over the rest of us, and there's a well-orchestrated plan to engineer disease to wipe out large segments of the population.
Do you believe that?
I have absolute proof of it. There's sodium hydroxide in the food. You can read the ingredients on some of the labels. I can't believe they actually list it as an ingredient. I talked to a doctor here in Hamilton that was studying Alzheimer's, and I flat out said to him, I didn't care what he was going to believe or not. I said, are you aware of the mad cow epidemic? And he said, yes, we are. And I said, I think I might have got mine from the milk. And he said, you may be right. Now, what I didn't tell him was when I was in custody, they singled out a bag of milk, the jail guards, as hard as this may be to believe, and I knew there was something funny about this. I'm going to actually back up just a bit here. This is, like I said, this is full moons.
So yeah, dude, because you're throwing a lot at me. You know?
I am, but it's very important because it's pretty nasty on one end, but on the Greg Braden side, you wouldn't believe the positives that come out of it. It's just unbelievable. But they did try to OD me when I was in jail the first year I was in 98. Both my mother and twin sister had a premonition that night that they were going to get a call from the jail that I had died, and I survived it. So, some kind of time shifting there. Or, and heard you mention about your keys disappearing the other night. I've had this kind of stuff happen all the time. I can blow your mind with some of the things that happen.
Slow down now. Focus.
I will focus. There's a lot to say, and I know we're running out of time. You got other callers, but the important message is that if the Bilderbergers, or it could be organized crime too, it could be the Russian mob, they're pretty ruthless. I'm not sure who's got the power right now. But if they're, as Alex Jones says, trying to eliminate 90% of us, and if they're orchestrating engineering disease, like Leonard Horowitz says, then we're pretty well all screwed unless we come together to use this power of intention. This is where I believe I'm going to congratulate you in advance, because I believe your show will make the move to finally do this intention experiment, because you'll realize that things are going to get so bad that we really don't have any choice but to go to the supreme power and ask for his help and his guidance, like Anna Albers did, that was on your show not too long
right.
ago.
Well, you know, we've been experimenting in this direction leading up to the day that we may have to do the big experiment. And, we're learning as we go, because it works, but it has consequences. As far as these other things, you might want to send it to me in a letter form, because it seems pretty in-depth, and I'd like to see it. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. George, I don't know if you remember me from the Talk Fest in Norfolk, but I'm the one that suggested the 2012 panel should be you, Art, and Ian in Art Studio.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember that.
Yeah, I think it's something that the other listeners should hear so they can all sort of put their two cents in. That should be your core panel and work from there.
If we can get us all together.
Right. Of course, you'll probably have to get permission from Art's wife, too.
Got to get permission from everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, this is Becky from Indiana.
Hey, Becky, what's going on?
Hey, I used to work in a nursing home a while back, and I'd take lunches upstairs. It was a big nursing home. And as I was sitting down, you could see something in the corner of my eye, like a black blob coming around the corner. And I heard that there's a bunch of, like, spirits and stuff in nursing homes. I didn't know if...
Were they talking about that in that place?
Yeah, well, not in that place, but other places. And I didn't believe it until I've seen that blob. And, well, I've talked to other people about it, and they said they've seen it, too.
How do you know that wasn't a floater in your eye?
I know my floaters. Yeah. I'm positive about that because I've seen it two or three times, and it looked like it was black, and it come around the corner from the stairs, from the downstairs. So, I mean, I'd see the same thing even down there by the nurse's station.
Was it like a misty black blob or what?
Yeah, like a grayish black, foggy looking thing.
And it just like hung around or what happened to it?
Yeah, it just peeked itself around the corner, I guess, you know, I mean.
It didn't look like a human, did it? I mean, it didn't have a shape of a body?
No, not at all. It was like a round.
Just like a cloud, a small little cloud.
Sort of, yeah, just floating around. And just, it looked like it was just peeking around the corner, you know. And
What did it want?
I don't know. I didn't find out.
It didn't come your way?
No, it was just like it wanted to peek around the corner to see who was up there, you know. And, I mean, I even see it floating around downstairs around the nurse's station and everything.
Seems harmless.
Yeah, it seemed harmless, yeah, but yeah, I don't work there anymore.
just let it float around. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Hey.
Is this me, Dave, from Detroit?
I think if that's you, that
yeah,
is you.
I miss these. Great to get through for you with you on Full Moon Open Night. I'm a first-time caller, and I've been listening to you a couple of years.
Thanks, David.
I heard a couple months ago, and I never heard what it was about, people talking on your show about 11:11 on the clock.
Yes.
Can you tell me what that's about?
I see that, too. I don't see it as much as I did a few years ago. It's slowing down. But it's supposed to be that you tuned in to a very enlightened moment, which hasn't occurred yet.
Hmm.
It's not a bad thing. It's just that you're becoming more and more aware of some things that will occur. And 111 or 1111 are those numbers that really accent that.
Something that will come at some point.
Yes.
Because, 1-1-1 and sometimes 3-3-3, but I've been having these for about 8 years. And just recently, well, the last two mornings, I think, I woke up at 11:11.
Yeah. Is it slowing down, or is it still at the same clip?
No, it's more than it was 8 years ago.
It was, yeah. See, mine's slowing down now.
No, there a lot. I mean, it's been coming up a lot lately, and I never heard nothing about it, and I never got an explanation. I caught in the middle of the show, you know, I came in.
Also go to the website numberslady.com.
Numbers Lady, great.
And search around for that.
And the other day, it was 11:11, I looked at the clock, and I had a cigarette, which lasts about 10 minutes, and it was like 30 minutes later. This was just like about 2 weeks ago.
Well, that'll happen when you smoke.
No.
Okay, thanks for the call. Wildcard line, you're up. Where are you calling from?
This me?
Hi.
Hey, this is Eddie. I'm calling from Naples, Florida. I just want you to know it's an honor and a pleasure to get to speak with you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Hey, and also about the 11:11, I used to see it a whole bunch, and I don't really see it much anymore, but that's another subject.
Yeah, you're like me. It's just fading away.
I always thought it meant whenever you see it to think about, to try to remember what you're thinking about that time, and that's something that's going on. I don't know. But anyway, I want to give a quick howdy to my friend Craig in Louisville, Kentucky. Just want to let you know that I've been abducted twice. Well, once when I was 12 by aliens, or I assume it was aliens, and once when I was 16.
And how do you know that?
Well, your screener kind of put a seed in my head and asked me if it was a dream. I don't think it was. I remember waking up in my closet when I was 12 years old, screaming and crying. I remember seeing a bunch of lights. My parents came down to my room, and I remember a feeling of just seeing a whole bunch of lights and things. Well, anyway, I didn't think much about it. A few years later, I was riding my bike down the road, kind of a busy road.
Mm-hmm.
And I had passed out, and some lady woke me up, and I was under a bridge. And it was just in the middle of the road, kind of.
You have no idea how you got there.
Not at all, sir. Not
That's
at all.
Weird.
You know, the first time that I think I was abducted, I think they took my sperm. Because on the second time, I remember seeing an image of a kid that looked like me.
Well, again, it could be. You know, if you've been abducted, Eddie, the chances are that it's still happening.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I live in Naples, Florida. I used to live in the Keys, and I seen a UFO about 6 months ago in the sky, and it took off, and I was with a credible witness who's seen it as well. And I don't know, I just think I'm a very unique person. I believe people with blue eyes, and I have blue eyes, and we're unique people, and there's a plan, and I really believe in 2012. And
you might be one of the special kids during those days, too. But if you're really concerned about the abduction, Bud Hopkins, just search for him on our website, coasttocoastam.com. Next up, it's our next wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, you had a woman on earlier discussing numerology this week.
Yes, Glynis McCants.
And, you know, Pythagoras was not just a mathematician. He was one of the most basic founders of philosophy.
True.
And, you know, and we were discussing events to come, and you know, through numerology, and I was just thinking, one of the things that a heads up for people is, and I was just going over the numbers, was in the year 1800 there were a billion people on Earth, 1930 there were two, 1963, 1974 four, 1987 five, 1999 six, we're just about 6.8 now, and all of the experts estimate within the next 5 years there's going to be another 500 million people on Earth. And not surprising, you never hear anything about it from our gulag media, but I would think that maybe you should write a book, maybe not The Quickening, but call it Critical Omissions, because your program's the only one where, you know, what are technical facts seem to be the only place they're getting out. They're not.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
But you deserve it. You know, and if not anything else, you've got a world full of material, and whatever there is, I think that's going on, you could probably reduce it to fine print of about 100 pages.
Do you think we'll ever get to 9 billion people?
I think that the sparks are going to fly, but you see, we in our country, our politicians think we're jokes, and they don't take us seriously, but as soon as we get to 9 billion and on Earth, watch how serious we can get.
That's a good point. The WorldNet Daily's got a campaign going now for the election, and it's a bumper sticker that just has a check, and it says, none of the above. My, oh, my. Let's go next to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Good morning, George.
Good morning to you, sir.
Long time, first time. And I wanted to make a quick comment. You had Al Bielek on a couple weeks ago, and I
yes.
wasn't able to get through. And let me start off by saying I respect him for being a member of our greatest generation and his contributions during World War II. And I've had the wonderful opportunity over the last 5 or 6 years in my role in local government to be exposed to protection details. And he intimated that there might be using some cloaking technology to hide people. And I wanted to comment that that is not the case. Trust me, if it was, I would be very excited.
And cloaked by now.
Pardon?
And you'd be cloaked by now.
I would be trying real hard. And the other thing that I have found a little bit of faith in politics is that the young people in this particular election cycle seem to be coming out more and more in numbers. Maybe the apathy is going down a little bit.
It's almost like the 60s, you know what?
Yes, it is.
It's almost like a...
And I'm hoping maybe that maybe someone will realize that maybe term limitations in Congress, while not being a panacea, would be something worth looking at, because some people going to serve our government for 30 or 40 years, I think, have lost their effectiveness.
Yeah, you may be
curious
right
what,
there.
Well, you know, I guess I am old-fashioned in the fact that if you want to go up and serve for 8 years in the House, or 6 years, 12 years in the Senate, excuse me, I'm probably getting the numbers backwards. You know, that's an adequate time to give to your country and go back to private life and let someone else come in. I think by the time that you have 20, 30, 40 years in service, I really do feel like that the perks of the job have taken over and probably clouded your judgment more.
You may be right there.
I just think that a regular routine turnover with a shorter term limitations would serve the people better.
Just automatically. And we still have those paying administrators in their various posts anyway.
That's true. That's absolutely true. It's been a wonderful honor, and thank you for talking to me this morning.
Okay, let's take another call or two. Let us go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dallas, Georgia.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me see, sir. Barred owls. I have three, what they're called, barred owls that were very active tonight. All the animals, you know, that I have were going, and I'm nervous. Sorry. Well,
what's going on down there for them to be so
jumpy?
Well,
I don't know. The birds, I have bird feeders and bird baths and a koi pond. I used to have tons and tons of birds, and I barely.
You sound like Jodie Foster.
I wonder if she's got a really shaky voice, too.
Yeah. No, you do. You do sound like that.
Well, that's a very good compliment. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, too. I don't have internet, sir, and I've got just a million issues. I'm a long-time listener.
Oh, God, I'd like to write you
a book.
Right, send me a book. We only have a minute left for you.
Okay, sir. Well, I guess the owls, the significance of the animals acting crazier than usual.
Earthquake time down there. You're on the New Madrid, aren't you?
You know what? I'm on the whiplash where I live. It's like on the whiplash of the Appalachian chain.
Yeah, it's really close.
So, is that it? It could be.
Have you had a lot of rain down that way too?
No, sir. No, sir.
You haven't had that.
Well, we did a couple weeks ago, but it's dry as a bone right now.
Okay, Jodie Foster, we're going to have to take our break pretty soon and wrap it up for today, but we've got still a whole great week of programs for you in store right here on Coast to Coast. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, filling in for Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.